west at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, the low 22. The wind from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 28 and a northwest wind from 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts to 25 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low of 16. The wind from the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high of 35 and the wind from the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Wednesday night and Thursday, mostly cloudy with a low Wednesday of 20 and a high Thursday of 28. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of snow and a low in the teens. Friday, mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-20s. At noon Central Time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the low 30s to the low 40s. Most locations reported sunny skies. At O'Hare Airport in Chicago, 33. Bloomington Normal reported 35. Danville, 36. Effingham, 40. And Carbondale, 42. At South Bend, 33. Lafayette, 38. 36 in Indianapolis, 37 in Terre Haute, 38 in Evansville. Willard Airport reported 36 degrees at the top of the hour with sunny skies. The dew point, 23. The wind out of the southwest at 20 miles per hour. The relative humidity, 59%. The barometric pressure, 30.17 and falling. And at 12:38, 36 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. Over the holidays, many lenders put foreclosures on hold. That temporary freeze is now over, and watchers of the industry expect thousands of foreclosed properties to hit the market in the weeks and months ahead. NPR's Tamara Keith has more.
Foreclosure sales slowed down at the end of last year, in part because of the regular holiday foreclosure freezes, but also because of the remnants of the so-called robo-signing scandal. In the fall, many lenders put evictions on hold while they reviewed their foreclosure procedures. Rick Sharga of the firm Realty Track says that's behind us now, and the pace of foreclosures is about to pick up.
I'd be really, really surprised if we didn't see a probably record quarter in the first quarter of this year.
Sharga expects banks will repossess close to 100,000 homes in January alone.
We always have a seasonal uptick in the first quarter, and I think it will be accelerated because of delays that the servicers will be making up for in the first couple months.
Realtors are bracing themselves for an increasing number of vacant homes waiting for buyers. But Lawrence Yoon, chief economist at the National Association of Realtors, says it doesn't come as a surprise.
These property will be coming onto the market. That is a given.
He says there's a massive shadow inventory, homes not yet on the market where the owners are more than 90 days behind on their payments.
It's just inevitable that they will go into a foreclosure.
Now, Yoon says he doesn't expect all these properties to dump onto the market in a single month. It will be gradual. But the question is whether the already fragile housing market will be able to handle them.
Hopefully, the improving economy, job creation, will provide the necessary housing demand to absorb the shadow inventory that will be reaching the market.
But will there be buyers out there for all those homes? While Yoon says he's hopeful, other economists aren't so sure. Most predict the unemployment rate will remain near 9% throughout 2011. People who are unemployed or worried about keeping their jobs aren't going to buy homes. And then there's the issue of loans. Mortgage lenders have so tightened their credit standards, even people with relatively good credit scores are having a hard time borrowing the money they need to buy. Tamara Keith, NPR News, Washington.
The man now assigned to oversee Illinois' colleges and universities says the change in jobs was a perfect fit for many reasons. Before starting last week as executive director of the State Board of Higher Education, George Reed had just completed a kind of post-secondary blueprint for Maryland as part of that state's Higher Education Commission. And Reed says this new job will borrow from his background as both an administrator and an educator. Illinois Public Media's Jeff Bosser talked with Reed about the challenges that await him.
The same things that you are dealing with here in Illinois were some of the things we were dealing with in Maryland. How to increase college completion, how to get high school kids who want to go to college more prepared to be successful, how to somehow grant people, institutions that were doing well, incentives to do even better through some formula based upon performance. All these things prepared me for this that I was doing in Maryland, that you're doing here in Illinois as well.
Yeah, I'm on a campus right now that has started a furlough plan, has seen layoffs and owed hundreds of millions from the state. What are your plans in terms of talking with administrators here and in terms of how we're going to right this ship for higher education in Illinois?
Well, the point of fact is that it can be righted. I would never assume going into any position just because I have a great deal of experience that I have all the answers. My first job will be to converse with my colleagues in higher education throughout the state, 2- and 4-year public and private institutions, to get an understanding of what they see to be the solutions, and work with my board here and put together some meat on the bones of that public agenda so we can right the ship. And so I don't have specific answers for you today, but as we go forward gathering information throughout the state and from our various colleagues, we will hit upon those answers pretty quickly.
Are there statistics that concern you in terms of the completion rates, minority enrollment at institutions like the U of I or other similar statistics?
They don't really concern me. I mean, one has to be cognizant of, and as is our board and others, that, you know, there's some achievement gap that is readily seen between groups of people. One of my goals is to make certain that that disappears over time. That's not going to be an easy thing. You're not going to be able to turn on a light and make that happen. That's going to happen over a few years, but it will happen. So, no, I mean, I'm not really concerned that it cannot be accomplished. I'm concerned that it exists, but I'm ready sort of to get to work.
And anything you can draw upon personal experience? You have 7 kids. I mean, anything you can take as a father in paying for college tuition?
My children, actually 3 girls of mine. I've reared 4 others who are my sisters and brothers-in-law who passed away early for different reasons. So we, in our household, we had 7 children. We reared 7. But those children, you know, have taught me something every day of my life. They teach me something new. Their demands to have a good and decent life always propel me to get out and do more and do better for their generation. So whenever I'm able, in a situation to help to create better higher education in any place I can, I always think about the fact that if it were them who were here, how would I want to help them out specifically and quickly? And so, yes, I'm encouraged and tutored by the fact that I have children too, and feel for the parents and others who are responsible for the children and responsible for their bills, to see what we can get done in Illinois to make it even better.
Jeff Bosser talked with George Reed, the new executive director of Illinois' Board of Higher Education. His full profile can be found on our website at will.illinois.edu. A piece of French technology may put an end to headaches associated with parking. This new device can help drivers locate free spots by contacting them on their cell phones. The technology was developed to deal with a slightly harder problem. It was first developed to help guide scientific equipment to the planet Venus. Eleanor Beardsley has the story.
The southern French city of Toulouse is a festive place any time of year. In January, a dusting of snow covers its red-tiled rooftops, and an outdoor market buzzes with shoppers and vendors selling everything from jewelry to mulled wine. But just a block from this pedestrian paradise, the city's drivers face the daily reality of Toulouse gridlock. Sandrine Boulot is trying to inch out of a tiny parking space to join a long line of cars, slowly making its way up one of the city's narrow medieval streets. Her 2-year-old sleeps in the back seat. A 35-euro ticket for parking in a delivery zone lies on the dashboard.
If I'm lucky, I find a place. If not, I just go around and around and around until I do. It is so difficult to park in Toulouse.
That's exactly what Deputy Mayor Alexandre Martial wants to put an end to with his new parking aid.
The system is very simple. You have just to have a look on your smartphone, and you know in real time if parking spot is free or no.
Marciel says the invention will cut down on gridlock and help the city to manage its parking spaces more effectively. And it will help the environment. Studies show that 60% of urban pollution in France is due to idling cars, many searching for a place to park. That also translates into millions of wasted hours for the drivers, says Marciel.
I can reduce the waste of time. I can reduce the spending gasoline, yes. It's very important, I think, for the planet.
An idea Marciel came up with several years ago has now become an actual prototype called Libertat. It's being tested on the streets of Toulouse by a local startup company with the same name. Tony Marchand, Libertat's technical director, points to a section of road where tiny receptors have been implanted just under the pavement.
These receptors send the information to that little box over there, which then transmits it to a central server, which sends it out to your telephone in real time.
The receptors store and transmit many different bits of information using radio signals. Marchand points out one car that arrived at 8 a.m. that morning and another car that's been there for days. He says most cities only collect about a third of the money they should from their parking meters. Next month, Libertat will widen the test area in Toulouse by installing 70 more sensors and hooking them up with a pool of 80 users. If all goes well, there are plans to cover the entire city by the end of 2011. Marchand says that while several such parking schemes are being developed in the world, Libertat is the only one that doesn't need a satellite connection, so it doesn't have the same problems as GPS systems, which are often blocked by narrow streets or tall buildings. At the Toulouse headquarters of the French Space Research Agency, Antonio Guel says he's in charge of bringing space research down to Earth. He says Libertat took advantage of space technologies developed and patented in France over the last few years.
They were researched and patented to help stratospheric balloons carrying scientific instruments land on Venus and communicate with each other without using heavy-duty transmission equipment. And that's really the advantage of Libertat, that it works without a satellite.
Libertat may soon be helping cars find parking spots in Toulouse and other cities in Europe and Canada, but there's one thing drivers may not appreciate, says Guel. Libertat will also be able to tell the police when the time's expired on your parking meter. For NPR News, I'm Eleanor Beardsley in Toulouse, France.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 3rd of January, 2000.